You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 217 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, October 21st of 2019, and here in Kansas City, I am your host, J.R. Cook, and I am joined by our crew over in New Hampshire, starting over there in Ray's backyard. Having a barbecue, we've got Mr. Danny Donuts. How's it going, Danny?
Yeah, good. I'm flipping burgers over here.
Yeah,
you should come join JR.
I should. I've heard the barbecue in New Hampshire is amazing.
I don't know where you heard that from.
Yeah, heard it from
that
Danny.
Person was a liar.
Heard it from Danny over there flipping burgers.
The best barbecue around here is a fast food barbecue joint.
What's it called? I'm putting you on the spot.
It's Willie somethings. I brought Ray there.
Oh.
At one point. It's right next to my apartment.
Right next to your apartment.
Oh, that place was good. That place was pretty good.
All right. Willie Jules. That's what it is. Willie Jules Barbecue.
Willie Jules Barbecue.
But it's like, yeah. I'm not sure if it's like a chain barbecue place or whatever, but it was pretty good.
Nice. And then
it was not as good as like Texas barbecue though. Like I've been to Texas, it had Texas barbecue.
There's no comparison, but it's like a good substitute for when you want to have barbecue and you can't go down to Texas.
Okay, I am offended that you guys are like, oh, it's Texas barbecue, when I'm over here in Kansas City where the best barbecue in the world is at. Just putting there. Kansas City barbecue is hands down best in the world. I will die on that hill.
Well, prove it. Buy me a plane ticket to Kansas City and prove it to me by feeding me
barbecue. I will take you to about 6 places that I guarantee are better than that Willie's place. So,
I mean, 100%.
Yeah, I guarantee you that.
Yes, 100%, man.
No, there's one place in Kansas City that has, hands down, like the best barbecue sandwich you've ever had in your life.
I haven't had it yet.
All right. All it is this nice, juicy barbecue brisket, provolone cheese, onion rings, and some nice barbecue sauce on a toasted bun. And it's called the Z-Man, and you get it at Oklahoma Joe's. And it's awesome. Good stuff. Now I want to go.
Yeah, I was about to say, can we take a quick break from the podcast while I go grab some food?
Yeah. But the other person I didn't introduce, but you've already heard, is not in Ray's backyard. He's in Ray's house.
Well, you don't know that.
I'm assuming.
I could be in my backyard right now.
Yeah, like
hanging out with Danny. Like, I don't really know how that would work internet-wise. Like, I could be on my phone right now
on Discord. Yeah, because two people can't use the internet at the same time.
Not at Ray's house.
I mean, like, you know what? Never mind. I'm just...
We're standing back-to-back on phones right now.
You know, the one time my mom told me to play outside, I brought my laptop outside and played Pokemon. So,
I mean, there's a time when I camped out in our backyard and I brought out a TV and my Super Nintendo. So.
Nice. That sounds like a good camping experience in my books.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now my mom just tells me to go play in traffic, which is also pretty fun.
Go play in traffic. You play a lot of fun.
I don't know if I'd call it Frogger. It's more like, you know, I don't know, man. It's more like a penguin. That's what people say. I walk like a penguin.
I don't know why. You do.
They say I wobble.
Yeah, I've seen you walk.
So it's more like a wobble. It's not like I'm not leapfrogging. I'm more like wobbling across the street, trying to avoid the traffic.
Are you walking? Are you walking over to Dunkin' Donuts? Is that what you're doing?
I mean,
That's what's on the other side. That's why he's trying to get there, right?
Yeah, dude. That's why I'm trying to cross the road to get to the Dunkin' Donuts. That's actually why the chicken crossed the road. Fun fact.
To get to Dunkin' Donuts.
It was to get to the Dunkin' Donuts on the other side.
Yeah, and get that iced coffee.
Yeah, dude. They never told you that when you were a kid growing up, but that's the real answer.
That's the real answer. Yep. So Ray, what have you been up to this week?
What did I even do this week? I played a lot of Hearthstone, honestly. Like, or at least in the last few days.
I saw you at rank one. Not like rank one legend,
Yeah, rank one. Like, I got to legend, and then I got to top 200 legend. Nice. Mainly, I actually played like a big mage deck a lot. So that was pretty interesting. It was like a Reno mage, big mage type thing. But now I'm playing a lot of tempo rogue. Yeah. It's just so much faster. Like, my win rate's probably similar as playing the Reno deck, but, like, I don't know, you just kill them on turn 5 sometimes, and that's pretty cool. Like, just going Leroy on 5, killing them, there's really not a better feeling than that.
Yeah.
Or at least from my point, at least on my end. When it happens to me, it's not as fun, but, you know.
So, is Shaman not the play anymore?
Oh, Shaman's definitely still the tier 1 nutter butters, but it's not, I don't know. For me, I just don't enjoy it. Like, I'll probably suck it up and play Shaman more towards the end of the season when, like, my win rate is starting to stagnate.
Yeah.
But until I get to, like, top 100 or something, it's like I can kind of just play whatever I want, I think. And or at least so far.
You need top 16, right?
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure, like, what I want. Like, I've kind of mapped it out. Like, I want to be in top 100 going into the last 3 days and then just try really hard with each game that I play.
Yeah, when everybody's at BlizzCon.
So. Yeah, well, it's the end of the season. It's next week.
Yeah, so is BlizzCon. BlizzCon is... Now, to be fair, BlizzCon starts on November 1st, but there will be people at BlizzCon the last day because they'll be getting their badges and stuff. So
yeah, and if you're going out to BlizzCon, you're traveling on the 1st, right? You're traveling, like, the day before.
Yeah, yeah.
The 31st, and you're picking up the end of the season.
Yeah, you're picking up your badge and stuff and potentially traveling unless you've traveled out there the day before on like the
30th. But still, your travel plans are going to be during the end of the season if you're going to there. So that's going to put people going to BlizzCon at a disadvantage.
Yep, that it will.
I mean, those people are probably set unless they're like people who are going that aren't Grandmasters. Like, I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
Like, the real grinders are going to be on the ladder. Or not the real grinders, Grandmasters are grinders. But, like, the people who have to grind are going to be grinding.
Yeah.
Who want it.
Yeah, speaking of BlizzCon, though, as a reminder, I will be there. We'll do one more show next week. We'll probably do it a little bit earlier, maybe. I might do it on, like, Sunday or something. We'll see, because I've got to leave early Tuesday morning, because I fly out on the 29th, way early in the morning. I get out there kind of early. But on Thursday, the day before BlizzCon on Halloween, over at Con Before the Storm, I will be on the First World of Podcast panel, where we talk about all Blizzard and BlizzCon things. So I'll be there if you want to come hang out and watch and listen, and then stay for the one after that for the Hearthstone panel, which I won't be on, but HS Deck Tech will. And I'm really excited to see him on the panel. So
yeah, he's been killing it, honestly. Yeah. Like, with this Twitter and, like, the articles he's been doing and stuff. Dude, he's been doing well in the community, honestly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm super happy for him. If I go to Los Angeles area, like, he's probably the first person that I hit up, along with, like, Cora. Those are, like, go-to people for me. Like, I just enjoy them both so much. They're great people.
Yeah. I
love seeing those people succeed.
Yeah, I've never actually met him, so I'm looking forward to meeting him this BlizzCon.
He's a lot of fun.
Yeah. He's a good guy. He's been writing for BlizzPro for couple of years now, at least, and he's basically our only writer right now, so
I mean, he's doing a good job.
Yeah. So that'll be fun, and BlizzCon is shaping up to be pretty awesome this year, and I don't know what they have plans yet for Hearthstone. Kind of in the dark about that. Of course, they'll announce whatever their next expansion is, If you listened to a couple episodes ago, I think Danny and I had a discussion around our predictions and, or at least what we hoped for. I really do hope that they're going to do like a overhaul of the system, as far as like making it so they can add, new features more easily or something like that, or reworking the ladder system, you know, something to that extent.
Anything new, really.
Anything new beyond just new cards. Like,
yeah, true.
Anything new. But speaking of that, though, I've been, I will say, like, I didn't think I was going to be that excited for the single player content, of this expansion, but it is all I've been playing. Like, I haven't been playing.
Yeah, they did a good job with it.
I haven't been playing the, I haven't been playing standard. I haven't been playing, PvP at all. I've been playing the single player content. I've been playing the tavern brawls. That's been my jam lately. And I've just really enjoyed it.
I think they really built up the replayability of the single player content with there's a couple things that they did that I think was really good. The first thing they did was creating the end bosses to be like that. You have to, they have like 300 health and then you have to kill them through that. Like, I think that's really cool. Multiple stage bosses at the end and like, you're not expected to beat them in one go, but like it, essentially it makes it like a hard mode if you want to kill them all in one go and see if you can build a deck that does that. But also I like how they put in Easter eggs. That's another thing that I think they were definitely lacking in the past, and I'm not sure if you've gotten any of these Easter eggs, JR, but like if you get the VIP the shop bonus, there's sometimes offered off of the VIP bonus that you can swap decks with Bob and you can get one of Bob's decks. And there's some of them that are ridiculous where it's, your entire deck is Pogo Hoppers. And the other one is every single legendary quest from the old quests. You get like the extra turn and the summoning portal and all of that other stuff. So really cool stuff.
Yeah. No, I have not actually gotten one of those yet, but I've seen them, and I've been trying to. I hope I will sometime, because that looks like a lot of fun. I also like the tavern brawls on, like, lately of trying to beat, like, a certain time and getting under that time to beat it. I still haven't beat this week's yet. I'm hoping after the show to get through it. I was at 41 minutes last night. And you got to bleed below 40. I'm just like, if I hadn't opened up Reddit and started reading something, I probably could have done that in time. But, so that's what I've been up to, is I've just been playing a lot. Like, I am at the point where I've been playing so much single-player content, I need to get my 5 games in so that I can get my card back this month. So I need to do that here pretty soon, too, probably before I leave for BlizzCon. But, Danny, what have you been up to?
So this week, I have not been playing that much Hearthstone. I actually have been playing a lot. This week, they had the preview period for Riot's new card game, Runeterra. So that's what I was playing this week.
Okay, exciting.
Yeah, Runeterra. Runeterra, it was a lot of fun, man.
I've seen some screenshots, and it looks very much like Hearthstone in a way.
I think that the UI, to me, has a lot to be desired if they really want to hit the nail on the head. I think it's honestly not on Hearthstone's level at all.
Okay. I know, I agree. But from the game itself, though, I found that it's kind of like a watered-down version of MTG, which is very interesting because I think that it has that player base where you can introduce a new player to it. And it has like the automatic mana like Hearthstone, but it has a little bit more intricacy in the strategy where you have like your mana carries over to the next turn if you don't spend it, and you can save up to 3 mana. And then on your next turn, you can use that on spells. So it makes a very interesting dichotomy where if you're playing a control deck, you no longer need to run like 1 and 2 drops like any control deck in any other card game I've played. You can now go in and you can play like a bunch of mid-range minions and play spells. And like, let's say I pass turn 1 and I pass turn 3 or 2, on turn 3, I can use six mana on a spell for like a board clear or something. So it's very interesting that that happens. And it just makes the way that you pass the game back and forth. There's a ton of interaction. It has a stack like Magic. Very, very interesting game. It was a ton of fun to try something new. It was a breath of fresh air. So I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It's like I'm afraid to like enjoy it too much because of the PTSD from Artifact. Like
that is, I mean, I definitely think that Riot's doing it right, where instead of Artifact strategy of have all of the big streamers play it for like 12 months and then release it to the general public after all the hype has died down, I got this through a drop on Twitch. So if you were watching streamers on Twitch and you have your Riot account linked to your Twitch, they gave you access after you watched a specific amount of time. So there was some randomness in who got it and who didn't. But if you were watching streams, or if you had, what I did was I just opened up a bunch of streams in tabs, and then I got it eventually. So
and everybody who was streaming it could like. It was almost like the card back from Hearthstone. Like, what was the card back where if you played somebody with the card back, you got the card back?
Yeah, the one that was like Hikar.
Yeah.
So like
yeah,
once
card back.
Like I could have streamed it, and then you could start getting keys from my stream or drops or whatever you want to call it. It's kind of like that. Like at first, it was like okay, the big streamers streaming it, but then everybody started streaming it, and then everybody like it just kind of was. It's cool. It's cool to watch play out. Although there were some people who were like having a bajillion tabs open that just weren't getting it. They were just raging.
Yeah, that was funny. But nice. I do appreciate the way they did that, because once you've gotten it, you now have access for the rest of the beta period. So you have access through the next preview period, which they're going to be focusing on drafting. And then they have closed beta coming out next year, at the beginning of next year. And you have access into the closed beta, which is something that I was surprised that they did. I'm surprised that they didn't just like close it up again and then only let like certain players play closed beta. So I think they're on the right path to that. They're definitely taking their approach better than Artifact did. And I think their timing was pretty good with all of what happened the last couple of weeks with Blizzard.
Honestly, like I'm wondering if this was like planned, like this was on the roadmap and planned, or like if they had maybe planned it for a little bit later, but they saw all the shenanigans with Blizzard and they were like, yo, it's our time to strike, baby, let's go.
They had this plan for a good amount of time because of just the announcement of all of their other games and stuff. Like this was
planned for a long time.
Yeah,
no, you're right. It was all in the time. It just happened to also coincide with the whole Blizzard shenanigans. Although the irony of it is that Riot is owned by Tencent, which
is 100% owned by China.
Chinese conglomerate. Yeah. It's like one of the biggest Chinese conglomerates.
Which makes me laugh a lot at people who go in and then they're like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna jump onto Riot. And it's like, really?
Like, well, they also own Fortnite as well. Tencent owns Epic Games in Fortnite. So it's like, you can't really escape China, like with gaming. Like they just kind of own everything. To some degree, or they have their hands in the pot of everything, which I don't really care about that stuff too much anymore.
We talked about it to death last week, and it's not something that we did one episode of it, and that's about the extent of what I wanted to go into it.
Same.
That's pretty cool. I'm excited to see what Riot does and comes out with, and. Healthy competition in this space is always good. It's just how will Blizzard react to it? So far, we haven't seen Blizzard react to. Well, I take that back. They've done a decent job of this year of advancing the game a little bit and being more responsive. The development team's been amazing, in my opinion.
Yeah, everything but esports, they've been on top of their game 100%.
Esports has been a dumpster fire. And esports in their PR department has just been an absolute dumpster fire this year. But development of the game, pretty solid. So
I just wanted to say that like I definitely have faith in the Riot team, because a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, They tried to hire me to be a designer for this game, which I don't think we talked about on the pre-show, but I don't think we actually talked about it on the actual show yet. And apparently I didn't mention it on the actual show before, and it was on like a pre-show or something. But I went to Santa Monica and I went to their headquarters. It was either 2 or 3 years ago at this point. It's been so long, I don't even know. To work on a project that was a Riot card game, which didn't have a name back then, but it was this game. And to like have been in that position and like seen this in development like so long ago, and then have it actually become a thing that exists, I don't know, that's pretty cool to me.
Yeah,
because
so now that the game's been announced, are you still under like an NDA type of thing with them?
No, I'm chilling, unless I like somehow work on it again, which I could. Like, if I get healthy, you know, my foot's still in the door. They said to contact them again because I couldn't take the job before. I did do the panels, and I did get offered a job, and I couldn't take it for health reasons. So I kind of just went through the process for the experience more than anything, and it was a really good experience. So I would probably be happy to actually accept the job one day.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be pretty cool.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Well, beyond that, I guess we should, unless we have anything else to talk about, Runeterra or BlizzCon or whatever else Ray is up to, probably hop over into some Hearthstone news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So before we begin, I just want to thank our legend of the show, TakuMZ. If you'd like to be a legend of the show or a patron or anything like that, just head over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast and find all the details there. So first thing on the news, and basically the only thing on the news, to be honest, is we had Bucharest last week, the Masters tournament, and there was, I feel like there was more information that came out of Bucharest, or at least more hype or people talking about it than the Masters tour before that, which I can't even remember. That one was in Korea, right? Seoul.
Yeah. That was Seoul.
Yeah, and like no one hardly talked about that one.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, but I actually saw people talking about this. Granted, I didn't see official Hearthstone channels talking about it. Once again,
interesting.
But I saw other people talking about it.
Honestly, I feel like a lot of that is because of the fact that the winner is a grandmaster, and it was Eddie, aka Seohoon. He took home first place, and there was a lot of like known names in the top cut, especially Orange. That was a really interesting storyline. Like, he gets kicked out of grandmasters, or relegated, not kicked out. And then he makes top eight, so like he could just immediately get back into Grandmasters if he gets top two or wins. So there's a lot of really good storylines there.
Yeah.
Of just, I don't know. It felt like the Seoul one was like eight random people, which is fine. Like, everybody need, like, that's the point of these things, is so you can make a name for yourself. But like, when you don't know who to root for, it's kind of like hard to care. But like this, like, when there's no storyline, there's nothing to root for, like, it's less interesting, whereas this tournament had a lot going on in terms of stories.
Yeah. So let's see. Top eight. Most of these names I don't really know, to be honest. But Kin0531, Hone, and if I'm mispronouncing these names, just ignore it. Totosh, Orange, Eddie, Essenbrox, Hunter Ace, and Dead Draw. And Eddie ended up winning 3-1 in the finals over Kin0531. The interesting thing, I think, is Dead Draw. Is this his? This was his second top eight finish, right?
Yeah. That's the person that was in the tweet that you wanted to talk about, which we could just segue into that now.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is he got top four. He went to the semifinals in this, and then I don't remember, was it Seoul or Vegas that he got top eight?
I think it was Vegas, but it doesn't really matter.
Anyway, two Masters tournaments, top eight in both, top four in one. Didn't win either, or didn't make it to the finals in either. I believe he was the only one that had multiple top eights, right?
Yeah.
And so there's this tweet out there from Mike Fouché, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Mikey, yep.
Yep. And he said, imagine getting top four and top eight out of the only three majors of the year and not being considered the best or even second best performing player when no one else made top eight more than once. And he was retweeting a tweet from Crane333, who said, I hope the selection process for new GMs changes. Dead draw without a shred of doubt. The best performing player these three Masters tours, but going by prize money, spiking a single tournament is better. Doesn't make sense for a game like this at all. So basically what this means is, even though Dead Draw is the only player that top eight in two out of three of these Master Tours, he's probably not going to get an invite to GM because he didn't get first in one of them and get that top prize money.
I mean, as weird as this sounds, like, that is something that kind of goes along with what has been the case for the whole year, where consistency doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is spiking and winning the whole tournament. Like, you could get top eight four times and still not qualify for Masters Tour.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, now they added like the fifth time you qualify, but like, you could top four times and it will mean nothing. But all, or you could just play and win your first open, and you're like, that is a, I don't know. It's just like, consistency doesn't matter. Only high rolling, only spiking events matters. Like, get, like, he could probably get top eight a third time and it still wouldn't matter because he would lose to the two other people who won,
yeah.
Which I like, I don't know, man. It's just, it's brutal because of how much of a difference the prize money is. It's so top heavy. Like, first and second are really the only like big money, like $100,000 and $50,000, and then after that there's just such a big drop off, yeah. That it's like, man, that just hurts. Like, getting top eight just, and then just like knowing you were like two games away from like an extra $50,000 is like, it's just brutal, especially since you almost get nothing comparatively. It just that feeling, I mean, I've been in that situation before where the jump is so huge that it just hurts. It just, you're just sad, and I can't imagine. I don't know, Dead Draw is probably not feeling so hot. Like, he's probably feeling good about top eighting twice, but like, what does that get you at the end of the day? Honestly, it almost gets you nothing.
Doesn't get you GM.
It doesn't get you GM, and honestly, the prize money, like, for top eight is, I mean, it's a relevant amount of money, but like, compared to it's just brutal, man. It just, like, it doesn't feel good. Like, where, like, if you get second, you get GM and you get $50,000. Like, okay, sure, you didn't get $100,000, but, like, you're getting GM and you still got, like, an insane amount of money. Whereas, like, top eight, you get nothing, and then you get, like, a small amount of money, which is, like, not enough that makes you feel good about yourself after, like, that. I don't know. It just doesn't feel as big of an achievement as it should in terms of how they support it.
Yeah.
Like, because that's a huge achievement. Like, that is a big deal. Top eighting twice is insane.
Yep.
And you just don't get rewarded for, like, how big of an accomplishment that is.
But looking at the top four deck lists here, it looks like we had three of the top four had Control Warrior. Everyone had a Shaman of some kind, either Quest Shaman or, like, an Aggro Evolve Shaman. It looks like, and then it kind of varied from there on what we see. Eddie brought the one who won brought Rez Priest, N'Zoth Hakkar Warrior, Infinite Quest Druid, and Quest Shaman. That's what he ended up winning with. And Ken brought Highlander Hunter, Control Warrior, Rez Priest, and Quest Shaman. So Rez Priest did pretty well. Quest Shaman, yeah, did pretty well. Control Warrior did pretty well. Priest was in three of those four lineups. Tempo Rogues in two of those lineups. I see kind of a nice little pattern here.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's almost like there's a large disparity between the good decks and the bad decks.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you expect in a tournament, though, right?
I don't know. It's like, I played in some open cups this past weekend, and it felt so bad. It was literally just like mirror match. Like one of the open cups, I literally played against three mirror matches in a row, and I was like, okay, whoever gets the better evolve wins, I guess. This was fun. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel like I don't know. I feel like there was more diversity in past meta games. Whereas like this one, I thought there would be more diversity, but then once you actually get down to it, like it's not as much as you would think. It's like control warrior, shaman, and then your third deck is either like priest or rogue. Or
was there anything that surprised you in these lineups? Were there anything at Budacrest that really surprised you?
I mean, there were techs that surprised me, like the Hakkar and Eddie's warrior. Like that was a really cool idea. Like you Hakkar and then you get to revive it with N'Zoth, and then you shuffle more bloods into their deck, and then you release the bloods out of your deck. I thought that was a really cute idea, but like it's still control warrior at the end of the day. It just has a more unique win condition. Same with this druid. You could just have infinite value. It wasn't Maligos druid, but it was still quest druid, right? Like it's still the same general shell. In terms of like new decks, I said last week I thought we were going to see the spice. I thought we were going to see a lot of new decks. And I was surprised to not see that happen. Like, there is almost nothing that was like, oh my god, like, this is it. This is the deck that we haven't seen on ladder yet that is like, this person's been like hiding it or whatever you want to say. Like, that was non-existent. That didn't happen. And that's pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
I honestly expected that to happen. I expected somebody to bring like some crazy warlock deck or like I don't even know. I don't even know. I just expected something. And there was not there just wasn't.
So you don't think the new cards that they added helped?
Oh no, it did. It helped in terms of like spicing the game up. Like I think it definitely does help in that sense, but like I don't think it diversified the meta. I think it made like I think it made the good decks even better.
Yeah, everybody's playing Death Rattle now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting like, okay, maybe Mage gets some crazy like OTK shenanigans or like Flame Waker makes Tempo Mage a thing. It's like, but nope, it's just somehow not good enough. Like I was expecting something like that to happen, and it just didn't, and I was surprised.
Do you think the results of this tournament solidified the current meta, or do you think that there's still potential for other things to pop up?
I mean, there's always that potential, right? Like back in the day, we saw what was it called? It was the mage deck that played Medivh. Like that one person,
Gunther Mage.
Like that dude played it, and then it got super popular after he got rank one legend with it. Like those kind of scenarios are always possible, but I think it would be very rare. I think that this tournament's results kind of just does solidify it. Like you said, I think we're going to see in the open cups, we're not going to see people playing, or we're not going to see people succeeding with like wacky lineups. I think it's going to be variations of all these lineups. I think that's just what we're going to consistently see. I mean, that's what we did see so far in the open cups. Like we haven't really seen any crazy lineup do well. It's just been pretty standard outside of like, there are crazy techs. Like that is a thing. People are getting creative with their techs, but in terms of the archetypes, no, I think it's pretty solidified at this point.
Are you excited to play this for like the next month still?
I don't actually think it's that bad. I mean, I've been having success with like a Reno Mage, like a big Reno Mage deck that I've been really enjoying. Like I've been having success with Rogue, which theoretically isn't in the top, like according to like the data. So I've been having a lot of success with off, like pseudo off meta decks. AKA just not playing shaman 24/7.
Yeah.
Not playing shaman is off meta.
but at the end of the day, like I probably will have to just end up grinding shaman. Like I do think it is that good. I think that there is a lot of skill to the deck, and that until I get to like high rank legend, like I'm talking like top 50 games, top 100 games, like until I get to that point, I feel like you can get away with playing whatever you want, but it's probably just going to be more efficient to pick shaman and just play it the best that you possibly can. And that's going to be that. It's just going to be shaman mirrors forever, baby.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. At least next month you'll have probably a little bit of a shakeup. Never mind. No, you won't.
I mean, without Evolve. No. Without Evolve.
Yeah.
Without Evolve. Like, once they get rid of Evolve or nerf it, I think that...
They're not nerfing Evolve.
No.
I mean, they're not going to nerf it. They're just going to get rid of it. Or, like, move it back to Wild, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I could see them potentially doing that pretty soon. If, like, maybe at the end of the month, they're just like, hey, Evolve kind of goes back. We'll leave the other cards in, maybe.
Just give us Totem Golem. Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
It's pretty iconic.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good one, too, because they have Thing from Below, you have Totem Golem, you even have that axe, right? The one that duplicates your totems?
Yeah, dude.
Just
I don't know, Totem man. Golem. Just an idea. If anybody works for Blizzard, I think the community would be a lot happier if you got rid of Evolve and put in Totem Golem.
No one from Blizzard listens to this.
We know how much you like totems.
No one from Blizzard listens to this after last week's episode. Come on.
I don't know. Maybe they're
You'd
into
be surprised.
That.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, dude, you never know. They might be into that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Especially if they had the pre-show and post-show.
Oh man.
Yeah, that was quite the pre-show last week.
Dude, it had to be said.
It
was a good story. I stick to it.
Yeah. But going back to talking about Bucharest though, there's that one I think the funniest thing about it, I didn't get a chance to watch any of it, but I love this video of when Eddie won, and it's just a mitigated disaster of cringe that happened after that. Like this had to be scripted.
No,
no way.
There's no way.
It was not scripted. It was not. They are just like legitimately. Like, it was just that awkward of an interaction, and then on top of it, like, the trophy broke, and it was fantastic.
I mean,
dude, they literally gave Muzzy flowers because they didn't have a trophy one time, dude.
No way. No yeah. way they gave him flowers.
No, they did. I forget which tournament it was, but they didn't have the trophy because it didn't get mailed in time or something. And
like, here's some flowers.
They just gave him flowers, and then they eventually sent him the trophy, but, like... On the day, like when he won, all they had for him was flowers, and it was pretty funny. Because they were like, "All right, what can we give a winner? Like, what's a winner thing? Flowers? People give flowers, right? Holidays, birthdays? I don't know, anniversaries? Yeah, this is good enough. Here you go."
Yeah, but the MC or the host or whatever was like, they gave him the trophy, and there's another guy on there who I think was like the esports like production manager. One of the esports guys, maybe the head esports guy in Hearthstone, the guy we can blame for all of this, not this, but, you know, presenting them the trophy, and they're like, they give them the trophy, and they're like starting to walk off camera, and they like bump into each other because neither one of them really know where to go. And you're just like, all right, that was super awkward. And then Eddie's like, he's like, I'm going to hold up the trophy now. And just the top of it just falls off.
Yeah,
and then
it
they,
was great.
And then they cut to the, casters, and they're we're laughing.
Just like, this is horrible. And no, they were laughing, dude. They were like, this is terrible.
And then like one of the guys, like who's evidently walking off the stage or whatever, like walks in front of the camera.
No, that was Alex Charsky. That was Charsky. Yeah, he's the head of esports. It was so bad too, because like when he was presenting, he was like. And this is the winner of Bucharest. What's your name again? What is it? Eddie. Oh, yeah. Eddie. Here's your champion, Eddie. Congratulations. Here's your trophy. It was made in China, though. It's not so sturdy.
Made in China, not so sturdy. Oh man! But you do yourself. Do yourself a favor and go find that video and go watch it, because it is just a series of events of everything that like it like this 20-second video just amplifies everything that Hearthstone Esports has been this year.
It's the embodiment of the esports.
It's perfect. It's a perfect way to end the last Masters Tour of the year, honestly. It couldn't be any better. Like, I couldn't even have imagined this being this good. That's how good it is.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, do yourself a favor. Go find that. I'll post it. I'll post a video in the show notes if you can't find it. Beyond that, though, there's not a lot to talk about this week. Other than just, Ray, I know you wanted to talk about the meta a little bit. But we kind of dumped into that already. But what are you playing on the ladder?
Right now, I was playing a lot of Reno Big Mage, but I've kind of just been playing more Tempo Rogue now because it's faster and it's very good. It's kind of reminds me of like the old Tempo aggro rogues where it's just like you try to get out a cheeky questing adventure, coin out like a one drop, and then if it lives, you just pop off with the questing adventure and you just get in there for a bunch of damage, and then it's like impossible to kill and it snowballs. Minions like Questing Adventure are super powerful against Priest and Druid. Like, if they just don't answer it, it just gets too big and they die. And even, I don't know, even against Shaman, like, if you play it, coin out something, like a 4-health minion, like, quest shamans are trying to be proactive about completing their quests. They don't really have reactive cards that deal with things. They're just trying to complete their quests and then do things to you. So it's actually really hard for them to deal with stuff like that if you can make it bigger than just a 2-2. And it plays Waggle Pick. It plays the Thief package, I guess that's what I'll call it. The Vendetta, Swashburglar. You play the Shaku the Collector, Blink Fox. So you just kind of have that like Thief package. That's the only way I can describe it. It's the Thief package, but it's very aggressive. I love it a lot. A lot of fun. Obviously, you have Leroy Shadow Steps. You don't play Tog. It's not like Leroy is the most expensive card. You're just trying to kill him. And then sometimes you steal a lethal. Like earlier today, I Blink Fox into a swipe for lethal. That was pretty cool.
Nice. So Tempo Rogue is the way to go, huh?
I mean, if you want to climb fast and you don't want to play Shaman, Tempo Rogue is definitely the way to go. The other two decks that are the best decks, I would say, are like the Secret, like the Highlander Secret Paladin shenanigans that people have been playing. That's been really popular. Secret Highlander Paladin, I've seen a lot on ladder. That deck is really good. And then there is all the different shamans, Evolve Shaman, Murloc Shaman, Quest Shaman. All three of those are just like the nuts.
Yeah.
I think that to me, I'm just so bored of Shaman Mirror, man. It's just like who plays Hair and Evolve and gets a better Evolve, or like who has the Sea Giants to answer the board. I just hate it. I don't know why. I just don't enjoy it. I would rather play Rogue as an aggro deck or anything else. Combo Priest is also very good. Resurrect Priest is combo, and Resurrect Priest are also both really powerful. Like I said before, though, if you don't know how to play Combo Priest, don't bother picking it up now. It's not worth it. It's not that good anymore. Resurrect Priest is pretty straightforward. You should play your big dudes, then revive them later on. But I don't think it's good enough that like you would actively want to be playing it right now. I think you just get crushed by Rogue. I think you get crushed by Shaman if they know what they're doing. I don't know. Priest is like, I don't think it's that good right now, but it's not bad. And then there's Quest Druid. Quest Druid is just one of those decks that's just like consistently okay. It doesn't feel insane. Now you have Kun, so you can go Kun into a Flooped Kun and then have like gain 20 armor, still have 10 mana. It just feels broken, but a lot of the times you just die. Like, you don't have great ways to deal with a wide board outside of your four AoEs. Like, if you whiff against Shaman, you just immediately die, and like completing your quest is super hard when you have to answer the board as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan. Then outside of those decks, like obviously there's Highlander Hunter and stuff, but I just don't like any of that. Like, those are really the only decks I'd want to climb with. If you really enjoy Warrior, I think Control Warrior is still a really good deck. I just think there's no point in playing it right now because it's not as good as the other decks for ladder, and it's just so slow.
Yeah.
I definitely factor that into my ladder experience. Like, I'll play Control Warrior once I hit top 100 and I'm focusing on every game. And honestly, if your goal is to get like Legend, like when you're getting closer to Legend, you can play Control Warrior if you really like it and you know how to play it. But like, until you get to that point,
where the games just become harder. Like, you should just not touch anything else besides what I talked about.
Yeah, it's not efficient to just play that because, like, what? Let's say you get plus five wins and then minus two losses, right? You get plus three wins. Well, you could have played, like, 10 Shaman games in that period, right?
Yeah, like 10 more Shaman games, yeah.
And maybe end up with, like, plus six wins or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but basically, you just assume your win rate's going to be the same, and then, like, what would you rather do? Win 10 games in 2 hours or win 10 games in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
That's obviously a huge exaggeration, but you get the idea.
Ray exaggerates? No. Never happens.
Nope.
So, Danny, I know that you haven't really been playing much this week because you had another game to play around with.
I do know a lot about the wild meta, though, if you want me to speak a little bit about it.
That's what I was going to ask about.
Yes. So right now, Snip Snap Warlock is the king. It is the number one deck. It is just, I don't know. I don't want to say it's comparable with Naga Giants, but it's the most powerful deck, and it doesn't seem like there's any counter to it. So that is the only thing that's even close to countering it is Secret Mage, and you lose against it with Secret Mage. Like, I don't know. I think Secret Mage probably isn't favored against it. It's probably like 50-50. So that's the backbone of the meta right now. There's been an uptick in Darkest Hour Warlock. That's been something that's been popping up a lot recently. Plague of Flames is extremely good because you typically go wide, and it gives you some game against the Snip Snap, because, like, you kill all of their Snip Snaps when you have, like, the Void Lord. You get that down early. It seems like the Warlock shell is just really, really strong right now. So those are the three main decks I would say if you're trying to play in Wild, you should be trying to play. Otherwise, Jade Druid's doing okay. That's just something that's really good. I think that Priest is, Combo Priest, Inner Fire Priest is something that's being slept on right now. Just not that many people are playing it, but people who have played it have done very well with it. And those are the main decks that you see right now. Reno decks have taken a back seat just due to how Snip Snap really dominates right now. So that's really where the meta is.
And Snip Snap is like OTK stuff, right? So, like, Reno being a thing is kind of irrelevant, right? Like, healing the 30
exactly
doesn't matter when you're just dying from 30.
Yeah. Right. So, especially where Snip Snap, it can be used as like the OTK if your opponent leaves a mech on board. So, people will play like Mecha Rue and you have to kill it. The target dummy is in that list now. So, people will randomly drop target dummy for zero mana on turns. And if you don't kill it, you lose the next turn, which is kind of brutal. But they also have the ability to go wide on the board. So Poison Seeds is a good counter to that, and that's why Druid is doing okay right now. But a lot of the times, like against Secret Mage, what Snip Snap Lock will do is, like, turn four, they can start the combo off. So they can just generate a full board of Snip Snaps with the Summoning Portal and then Mech Warper and then all of the Snip Snaps and put those on board. So it's kind of put to a point where, you just generate a giant. It's kind of like Naga Giants, where you just, on turn four, your opponent can have a full board of minions. But it has a little bit more inevitability, because a lot of times against the decks where Naga Giants was a thing, you are now able, those decks now run Mechathun. The Snip Snap Lock runs Mechathun because you're just floating that. And at the end of the game, you Plague of Flames your Mechathun because you've already discounted your Mechathun with your Galvanizer or some other thing. So it's really, it's an interesting deck right now, but it seems like, I don't really like it when a deck that's dependent on animations is something that's like driving the meta.
Yeah. So because of that, do you feel like the wild meta is in a pretty good place then right now, or?
I think it's better than it was last expansion. I think Cyclone Mage was degenerate, and it's like, you can't really plan against it. With Mechathun, with all of these strategies, you can at least try to design a strategy to beat it, where, like, you're starting to see Mass Dispel a lot more in Priest. Like, you have a lot of things that are trying to counter it. Poison Seeds. So you can build your deck to try to beat the deck, which I think is cool. I think that gives a little bit more longevity to the meta, makes it a little bit more fresh. But I do think that we're at a point where, this deck is just very strong, and it's going to take something next expansion to shake it up, or Blizzard even stepping in for things to change.
Interesting. I wonder if going into, we're talking about BlizzCon, we'll probably talk about this more next week, maybe. But I wonder if the next expansion will be similar to what we saw with this last one in terms of kind of power, right? In terms of this last expansion was just really, really good. And I know, Danny, you were super pumped for it. And even after it came out, as far as like what it did for the wild scene, and the game, and it did really well for standard as well. Wonder if we're gonna see something similar with this next set and bump it up even another level.
I hope so, right? That's the goal.
Yeah. It is the shortest, the set that's going to be in standard the shortest. So I wouldn't be afraid if they even go a little bit further than what they did this expansion, which would be pretty neat. Although then you run into the issue of what happened with, what was it? Knights of the Frozen Throne into Kobolds and Catacombs.
Yeah.
Where you had the set rotation and nothing changed because All of the cards that left were the weaker cards. So you could have that if they give you a super strong set here. So it's interesting to see where they go from here. And if they understand that at least they should go through and see the sets that are rotating out and make sure that those sets that are rotating out don't have things that are covered by the new set that is coming in, essentially. They want to have it so that when the set rotation happens for standard, that things change. That it's not, oh, we're playing the same meta that we had for the past two expansions.
Yeah. I'm just really excited to see what they come out with. When they come out with it, I'm excited to see if they continue doing the in-between updates that they've been doing, because, we're entering towards the holidays. We're going to have, the new expansion probably hit early December, and that's going to have to get us through, the Christmas season, the holiday season. And then we probably don't see the first expansion of the year until March, I believe, normally about when it comes out. And that's when the set rotation will happen. And the game just gets very, in the past, the game's gotten very stale towards the beginning of the year, every year. So I'm curious to see if they do anything like what they did with this set, where they changed some stuff midway through. It was like, here you go. Here's 21 new cards into standard that are cards that you've played with before.
I mean, it seems like they've tried different things, right? Where they had the buffs was one thing. They have this, where it's a bunch of new cards. Maybe they try something completely different, where it's like, okay, here are 10 brand new cards that never have been in Hearthstone, and now we're releasing them.
That would be interesting.
They could. There are a bunch of different things that they could do. They don't. I think that this is proved that they're trying out different things, and they have a ton of potential options to freshen up the game. And they're like, they've recognized that halfway through each expansion, that if they don't do anything, the meta really gets stale. So I really like the step forward, but they don't necessarily have to do what they've done in the past. They can always do new things. But I mean, if they can't think of new things to do, or they don't have enough time to do it, or something along those lines, I think that they can always rely on these past two things of buffing cards and going through and adding old cards back.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still hoping for something like that, and I'm hoping for some new features or something. In the terms, like I said, I've been playing a lot of single player content. I would like to see them do something to make me more interested, like you guys are, in the PvP aspect of the game again. Because right now, even though you guys have been excited about it, I haven't been. And I don't know why. It's just, there is nothing enticing me right now to go play Hearthstone against other people.
I mean, what would it take, though? I think that it's kind of hard. External from cards, right? Like, for you, I don't think that adding, like, grand master, like, points back in, like, the HCT points would really do anything to motivate you to play, because you're not going for HCT points. I'm not really sure what would drive you to do that, unless they did a complete revamp of the ladder or, like, a tournament mode or something that would be announced at BlizzCon, let's say.
No, that's what it would take.
Some type of progression system, like some with more prizes, like the chests. That doesn't even matter to anybody. I don't think anybody cares about the chests at this point. Like maybe when I first started doing it forever ago, like people cared, but nobody honestly cares about the chests. Like I don't think that's going to make people grind anymore. I think they need a better progression system that rewards you for each milestone. Like if they gave you like 5 or 10 packs each time you reached a milestone, I feel like that would even be more enticing.
Yeah.
Maybe not for you. I'm not sure. Cause like, but I just feel like it would be, I don't know. Or just like a new hero portrait when you reach legend. I don't, like, there's so many things they can do.
So man. did the 1,000 portraits make you play JR? Was that something that's like, hey, I'm close to 1,000 wins in a certain class.
No,
I'm going to play a little bit more of that.
Like it gives me a goal. But it's not, I had already hit most of them at this point. That the other ones I don't have are classes I don't really enjoy playing that much of. So I'm just kind of like, man, I don't want to play this right now.
I was so happy when they announced that. I was like, nice, 9 new heroes. Let's go.
I think I have 5 of the 9, basically. So I don't know, maybe I'll grind out the other 4. We'll see, but it's not enough. Like even right now I'm like, oh shoot, I need to play my 5 games just so I can get my card back. Because I've never missed a card back yet. So I need to do that. It's gotta be something that gets me to want to do something without feeling like, I'm losing rank or being stressed out about the ladder, because right now I just don't care about the ladder. Like I've hit legend multiple times. I don't need to sit there and prove myself in the game. I'm not interested in playing at the highest level. I just want to enjoy playing the game. And right now that enjoyment is coming from the single player content.
That's so interesting to me.
Yeah.
I just, it's like, I'm the opposite, man. Like, I can't find enjoyment in that. It's funny.
I know. And most of it's because I can just sit down and just crank out a quick game or so.
Probably feel like rewarded.
I feel rewarded because there is a progression. I'm like, oh, shoot, I didn't beat that boss this time. Dang it. I'll try again. I'll like, get further. I'll beat it that time.
My literal only motivation is top 16. Like, that is the only thing that is making it. Like the grind bearable, like the game itself is fine right now, but if there was not that goal of top 16, I wouldn't touch Hearthstone right now because it's just not fun enough without any incentives for me. But that's also my personality. I think I need I need to be able to accomplish something important in any game that I play.
And for me, I just want to sit down and have some fun and feel like I'm progressing in something. I've done the ladder so much that I'm just over it. I just don't care. Okay.
And I do want to say, like, that's not even me trying to, like, crap on anything. Like, the game has gotten significantly better lately. Yeah. It's just a personal, like, that is how I get enjoyment from games, is by achieving things that are worthwhile or difficult. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's always been your stick, because you want to play at the highest level of the game. You want to have that competition, and you have something to prove that, hey, I am one of the top players in the world in this game, and that's what drives you. That doesn't drive me, because I know, one, I don't have the time to do it, and I don't have the drive to do it, because my drive in my life is elsewhere. And, you know, that's at my job.
You have a life and a wife. GG.
Yeah.
GG, well played, sir.
And when I sit down and play games, I've got to have a goal in mind. And right now, the only goal that you can do in Hearthstone is the ladder. And after you do that so many times for like 5 years and it never changes, it's like I've been there, done that. I don't need to do that again. Whereas the single player content right now is, like I said, it's like, oh, I want to beat these 8 bosses. I can sit down for 40 minutes. I don't have to worry about some jerk on the other side roping me or anything like that. I can play at my own pace, and I can walk away from it mid-game even, and if something comes up. That's why I like it right now. But that's going to get old very quick as well. And I feel like there's
a honeymoon phase with games. Like for TFT, there really isn't anything that you get from getting to Challenger, but I still wanted to do it just to prove to myself that I could do it. And that was the same with Hearthstone too. Like I didn't play Hearthstone with the goal of becoming a pro Hearthstone player at first. It was just like, I was playing Pokemon and then I like Hearthstone came out and I started playing it. And then I was like, all right, I want to see if I can get to Legend. So like there's that honeymoon phase where like you're just doing it to see if you can do it. And then after a while that just wears off. Like a lot of people who are more casual have the goal of like, this will feel really good to get to Legend. Even if it doesn't actually get them anything, that is the accomplishment in and of itself. But that goes away after a while.
So here's what I want to do for our listeners is tweet at us. At Eldorian, at WellMet Podcast, at Danny Donuts HS, or at PG_Racy. Mm-hmm. Tweet at us or email us WellMet@BlizzPro.com. What gets you excited to play Hearthstone right now? What would you like to see added to play Hearthstone right now? Because I want to. Like I want to talk about this more next week, and I want to go over our listeners' ideas. And as we talk about predictions into BlizzCon, also, what do you think is going to happen at BlizzCon? I would love to, you know, get several tweets and emails from our listeners on what gets them hyped up about playing Hearthstone, and what they want to see at BlizzCon announced for Hearthstone. So do that, and we'll talk about it next week's show. So
yeah. I think it's almost time to poop.
Yeah, it's time to get out of here. That's what I was getting at. I wanted to put that out there. Hey, let's get our listeners out there so that do that, and then Ray can poop. Oh my god, I hit the wrong button.
It's the magical poop time.
It's magical poop time. Where I sit on the toilet and have massive diarrhea. Oh yeah, no, that's the diarrhea music right there.
Oh man, that's
the music that plays in my head when I see the toilet.
And I need to remember to go back and get you singing that song, because that is gonna go right on the soundboard.
I don't even remember what episode that was.
For what, you singing? That was this episode. Yeah. You just did it.
Oh.
That's gonna be taken.
I thought you meant when we sang the intro.
Oh no. No.
Oh, we should find that. That one was pretty good.
Yeah. That was awful.
JR's like, yeah, no.
That was great.
No.
That was a work of art, JR.
Yeah, that was art.
I think we had more complaints that week on the show than we've ever had.
Really?
No. No one actually complained about it.
I don't believe it.
All right. Where are my show notes? Okay. Anyway, like I said earlier, email us wellmet@blizzpro.com. What we talked about there. If you'd like to help support the show, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast is the place to do it. You can get the pre-show and the post-show for $1 a month. And there's other cool things that you can get there, so make sure to check that out. Another great way to support the show is with podcast reviews. Just head over to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called these days. Leave a 5-star review, and we'll read it on next week's show. I'm trying to get through that like faster and faster. I think I finally got it down to where I can go get it through very quickly. So shout outs and how can people get in contact with you, Ray?
Shout outs to my boy Eddie for winning the Masters Tour Bucharest.
Yeah.
I remember when he was a wee young ladder, but now he's a champion. That's really cool to see that progression. I love it. And you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/racy591 and on Twitter at PG_racy. I might stream this week going in to top 100. I feel like I'm finally comfortable with my rank and my play and everything to start streaming, and also my health as well. I was pretty AFK from life for a while there, so I don't know. I feel like I'm in a good position to start streaming more consistently again.
Yeah. Danny, how about you?
I have no shout out this week, so I'm going to go to the default. Battlefy, you screwed up again in the tournament this weekend, so pick up your game.
What'd they do this time?
They got a couple scores wrong at certain points. When I went to go through and check, I was like, oh, this person was was ahead, and they actually reverted scores back. Reported incorrect scores.
All right. You know, I don't really have any shout outs this week that I can think of off the top of my head. Just all the awesome listeners out there who've been reaching out to us. And we had some decent feedback on last week's show. So I was pretty excited for that. And if you want to find me, I'm over on Twitter at Eldorian. And anyway, thanks for joining us for episode 217 of All Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us at WellMetBlizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music and the music that you're listening to right now. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.